Reading a couple of blogs and watching 5 YouTube videos does not make you an expert on a subject. Right? And I'm talking to the young. I'm talking to millennials and Generation Zs. Just because you watch 4 videos on YouTube does not make you an expert. You don't have the whole truth on the matter. In fact, you may have junk.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming sermon titled Christmas Mythbusters by Dr. Abaddon Shah here at Clearview Church. At Clearview, our goal is to make Christ visible in the way that we worship and the way that we serve others. We'd love to see you at one of our services here at 3485 Oxford Road. And for more information on our church, visit clearviewbc.org. But for now, let's listen to this week's sermon.
A couple of weeks ago, I was in a used bookstore in Raleigh. And I was towards the front side of the store, so I couldn't help but see these 2 ladies walk in. And they walked in and started talking real loudly. Have you ever been around people like that? They don't care anybody else is in the store. They were loud and obnoxious, really. But anyways, so I was listening, and then one of them, I guess they knew the cashier, they'd been to this bookstore before, one of them belted out to the cashier, "Hey, did you know that December 25th could not be the day Jesus was born?" And so I'm standing there, immediately my ears perked up, so I'm listening, like, let's see what's about to come. He said, "You know, I just read that that day was actually a Roman holiday celebrating the Greek god Saturn." Now, when I heard that, everything inside of me was saying, say something, say something. I wanted to reach to the side and say, "Hey, that's baloney, by the way," and go back to my shopping, but it was not the time or the place. But this morning, we're going to answer that statement. Is that really true? Is it really true that we have, or our church leaders in the beginning, decided to Christianize these pagan festivals and to keep a control on the masses? Well, I want you to hear me very carefully, because you're going to hear it throughout this message. The church or the leaders did not create Christmas from some pagan holiday. December 25th did not become the birthday of Jesus because of some church council decision. It's not because Constantine converted and he decided to Christianize these pagan festivals that we have December 25th. Instead, it was passed down through the earliest tradition that this was the day the Savior of the world was born. In fact, ever since the beginning of time, it was the most important event on God's calendar. Hey, listen carefully. The coming of Jesus Christ was not an afterthought. It's not that he came and then people said, how can we appropriate him and how can we make him the Messiah now? Ever since the beginning of time, prophecy after prophecy was given that he was coming, and in the fullness of time, he came. Jesus is the culmination of history and the future, and his coming was not an accident. Today's message is going to be different. So we're coming out of the parable series. We really enjoy the parable series. This one is going to be different. But it's a message that we need to hear time to time, especially our children and our grandchildren, because they are being bombarded with anti-Christmas statements. And they need to hear the truth. And this morning, this is one of those kinds of messages. So if you're visiting with us, do come back. We'll do something what we always do, okay? The message is called Christmas Mythbusters. You have your Bibles with you. Turn to Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 3. And let's all stand together once again for the reading of God's Word. Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 3. Paul says, "Even so we, when we were children under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of the time had come." That's what we're picking out of this verse. The fullness of the time had come. Jesus is not an accident of history. Everything happened, everything lined up, and he came. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Jesus came 2,020 years or so ago to reverse what took place in the Garden of Eden. In fact, much more than that, he came to adopt us. Have you received the adoption? Are you a son or a daughter of the King of Kings? If not, would you pray with me right now? This message will have so much more meaning. Christmas will have so much more meaning if you actually have Christ in your life. So pray this way. Jesus, I don't know everything about the Bible. I don't even know what it means to be saved, but I know this much. I don't have you in my life. To the best I can, I invite you to come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and take over. And I believe that you are the Son of God. The best I can, I believe that you came, you died, and you rose again. Now help me to live for you. We're living in what is known as the information age. Ever since our history, people have classified different periods by certain titles. We're living in the information age. Some people have called it the computer age or the digital age. Never before in history have so many people had so much access to so much information. Never before. I mean, in the past, if you wanted to know something, if you wanted to figure out a person, who they were, or some event that happened, you had to go to the library. Nowadays, if you need some information, all you have to do is pull out your phone, and there you go. See, I don't even have to put my password in. It recognized my face. It's ready to open. And type in what you need. Just like that, Wikipedia will pop up. You can figure out whatever you need. I mean, never before we've had so much access so quickly. In some ways, it's a blessing. All over the world, people have access to knowledge. It's a blessing. But at the same time, it's also a curse. People, even Christians, read something on the internet and immediately they think that they are getting the truth. Something else. Reading a couple of blogs and watching 5 YouTube videos does not make you an expert on a subject. Right? And I'm talking to the young. I'm talking to millennials and Generation Zs. Just because you watch 4 videos on YouTube does not make you an expert. You don't have the whole truth on the matter. In fact, you may have junk. And this morning, we're going to deal with one of those myths that have been on the internet, but much more, it has been around for a much longer time. And it's a myth that claims that December 25th was actually a pagan holiday that the church adopted as the birthday of Jesus. And this all happened under Constantine. Remember, Constantine converted to Christianity. And when he became a Christian, he said, oh, what do I do? Well, we have these pagan holidays. Well, we can't have that. Well, why don't we convert those pagan holidays into Christian holidays? Yeah, that way Christians will not go out in the world and go back to their old ways. We can make them celebrate, but do it in the church. This is a myth that has been around for some time, but especially now through the internet in the past 10, 20 years. Is it true or is it false? It is false. And sometimes even Christians say this without realizing the inherent danger in saying, oh, I believe Jesus came. 25th? I think it was a pagan holiday that Christians adopted. They don't realize when we say that, the logical questions that follow are this. Is anything else about Jesus also a myth? This morning, again, it's a different kind of message. But it's one we need to hear time to time, and we're going to handle this myth. There are 2 different lines of arguments supporting this idea that December 25th was a pagan holiday. The first one is known as the history of religion's view. History of religion's view goes back to the 1600s. Remember, Renaissance, Reformation, and then 1600s is that time period. According to this theory, in AD 274, the Roman Emperor Aurelian built a temple to the sun god Sol Invictus. We have historical proof that he does in AD 274, and he even instituted some games and special feasts for this day. But here's the thing. Guess what day he picked? December 25th. He picked the same day that we're talking about. He picked this very day, December 25th. Something else, about the same time period, already before Aurelian made this Sol Invictus temple and everything, this was also the time of Saturnalia. Saturnalia was an old festival, a Greek festival, which ran from December 17th through the 23rd in honor of the god of wealth and agriculture. Saturnalia was a festival, a time of great feasting and parties as they're celebrating this god Saturn. All this, listen, all this was based around the winter solstice. So the whole idea the ancients had was, that's the day the sun dies, S-U-N, sun dies, and it's reborn. This is the whole idea of the solstice. The myth says Christian leaders simply hijacked Sol Invictus, Saturnalia, winter solstice festival, and made it into the Christmas, the day Jesus was born. There is zero evidence, zero historical documents among the pagan writers or the Christian writers. Nobody says anything like this, that this happened. Instead, what we have are historical documents stating that according to tradition, Christmas was celebrated in Rome from the very beginning. This is not in the 3rd century or the 4th century that people said, hey, why don't we take the pagan festival and turn it over? No, going back to the very time of the apostles after that time period, December 25th began to be celebrated and commemorated as the day the Savior was born. We do have historical documents supporting that. Something else. In parts of the world where Rome was not even in control, Christmas was already being celebrated on December 25th. You see, this whole myth is based on Rome. It's based on a Roman god, and it's being replaced by the Christian god. In other parts of the world, nobody was telling them, but they were already celebrating on December 25th. So that is the history of religion's view that does not stand in the face of historical evidence. It does not stand. There are no historical documents supporting the view that this happened. Something else, this is the second view. This is known as the calculation view. This view goes back to the late 1800s. It's not as old, just to the late 1800s. According to this theory, by the way, this one is a little complicated. According to this theory, the December 25th day was calculated by the church leaders from the date of the Annunciation, which is when the angel Gabriel came to Mary. It is calculated from that date and the conception of Jesus based on when Jesus died. We know that date, sort of, so based on that and the Annunciation and then conception. And the church leaders said, hey, there you go. I think it's December 25th. What do you guys think? I think it works out great. There we go. It is based on an idea that the Jewish people had that great leaders, great patriarchs and prophets were born and they died on the very same day. So what this theory says, are y'all still with me? It's a theory. I don't want any of y'all to get convinced by it. I know it's a deep message. And don't worry about taking notes. Go to the blog site. Every bit of it is written out, so you can read it at home. This is just a theory based on a Jewish belief that great leaders, Abraham, Moses, David, They're born and died on the same day. So they said, maybe the church leader said, how can we get the date of Jesus' birth? Oh, I know what we can do. We can find out the day he died and then make it the day. And then they said, oh, wait a minute, that could not be March. So let's make it the conception day. Oh, there you go, from March to December, 9 months. There you go, that's perfect. Again, please listen very carefully. There is no shred of evidence that the early church actually sat down and did this kind of math to figure out the birthday of Jesus. No evidence. So the question is, should we believe December 25th is the actual date of Jesus' birth? I don't have time to go into all the details. This is a very short time I have. I have next 10 minutes I have to convince you. Two passages in the Bible help us, and they're coming from the Gospels. One is from the Gospel of Matthew, and the other is from the Gospel of Luke. So let's go to the Gospel of Matthew first. Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Now, let me say something very quickly. About this time in Herod's life, he was very sick. He was dying. And at the same time, because of this sickness, he was also very, how do I say this? He was anxious. He was anxious that people were trying to sabotage his throne, that there were conspiracies going on behind his back. He was very paranoid. Something happened about this time that the Josephus, the Jewish historian, tells us. See, unlike their theories, I have historical documents. Josephus tells us, the Jewish historian, that about this time, Herod had put an eagle on the gate of the Jewish temple. Not right then, but he had done it already. Now, so far, the people were scared to take this off because, you know, this was such an abomination for a Roman eagle to be on the gate of the Jewish temple. What a horrible image. But they couldn't do anything. But now, Herod was weak and sick and dying. So some of the rabbis came to the young men and said, hey, one of you, the brave one among you, take that eagle down. And so the young men said, you know, I mean, Herod is dying. He's not going to do anything. What can he do? So they got up on top, tore the eagle down. But Herod knew about it, and his secret service people were around there, and they captured those young men and also arrested the rabbis. And then Herod gave the order, take them to Jericho. Well, what's going to happen in Jericho? Burn them alive. And guess what? We have the date for that. January the 10th, 1 BC. This is the day that this happens. Herod executes the rabbis and the young men for taking down the eagle at the temple gate. But it gets worse. Herod is not doing well. So he decides to go to the mineral springs beyond the Jordan. Folks, what I'm telling you is not myth. This is fact. This is historical documents. So sometime in the middle of February, are y'all still with me? There's a reason why I'm giving you these dates. January executes the rabbis and the young men. Middle of February, he decides to go to the mineral springs. So he is going to be gone for a little while. But prior to this, something happens. He has a visit. We're going to come to that. Some people come to visit him. But before we do that, I want to read for you a statement that is given by an ancient writer by the name of Macrobius. Macrobius says something very interesting here. On hearing that the son of Herod, king of the Jews, had been slain, when Herod ordered that all boys in Syria under the age of 2 be killed, Augustus said, it's better to be Herod's pig than his son. Folks, this happened somewhere in the first part of February before he went off to the mineral springs. What I'm telling you takes time and effort to explain, but I'm doing this because we need to. We need to understand. So what happens? Somewhere before he goes off in the mineral springs, the wise men come to visit him, and they say, "We saw a star in the east and have come to worship him. Where is the king of the Jews?" And Herod and all Jerusalem with him are troubled. And he calls the scribes and the religious leaders, the Pharisees. He said, "Tell me, where is he?" And they said, it's right here in Bethlehem of Judea, because the prophets have said this is what's going to happen. And what does Herod do? He said, "Well, Magi, go find him. And once you found him, let me know, and I will come and worship him." Now, Herod was in no shape of going anywhere to worship anybody. And the star which the Magi had saw in the east led them to the very place Jesus was. And the Magi came and worshiped him, and they opened their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And in a dream, the angel warned them and said, "What? Don't go back to Herod. Go another way." And so the Magi went back to the other way, and the word comes back to Herod. What? So he gives the order, not just to kill every baby, but to kill every male child 2 years and younger, Bethlehem and all Judea. Listen, that's the same as Syria. This happens right around the time that he has his own son killed. And a week later, he dies. Would you like to know the death day of Herod? April the 8th, 1 BC. Our time is short. Let me go to the second reference very quickly. This one is Luke chapter 1. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias." Anybody know who Zacharias was? He was going to be the future father of John the Baptist, right? All right? But now I want us to focus on the last line of verse 5. This is critical for us to understand the birthday of Jesus Christ. "A certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah." Now, what does that mean for us? You know, this is referred to as the priestly course. King David, 1,000 years earlier from the time of Christ, had divided the priests into 24 courses. I mean, he had thousands of priests. By giving us the division in which Zacharias belonged, guess what? The Jewish people kept a calendar of when the priest would come. Would you like to know the time? Would you like to know when Zechariah was actually sacrificing in the temple because he was in the division of Abijah? September 3rd through the 11th, 3rd BC. And according to tradition, around September 22nd, 3rd BC, John was conceived. What does that have to do with the birth of Jesus? Elizabeth and Mary were cousins. They were cousins. So what happens? Listen to Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Turn to the screen. It says, "Now in the sixth month." Now, sixth month of what? Sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. If you read the whole context, I don't have time to go into that. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, what happens? It says, "The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary." So now help me count 6 months from September. Are you ready? We're talking about September 3 BC. Now you have to go backwards before that time period. So you go from 3rd BC to 2nd BC. So September, count 6 months for me. Ready? October, November, December, January, February. Y'all didn't count as much. March. It is the month of March when the angel comes to Mary and says, "You will be with child." The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Means you will have this child through the Holy Spirit. And what does Mary do? Let's see how many of y'all know your Bible. What does she do at that moment? She makes a trip to where? To Elizabeth. She comes to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth sees her coming, and she says, when you walked in, the baby inside of me leaped with joy. Because John the Baptist, inside his mother's womb, recognized his cousin Jesus coming, and he knew he is the reason why I'm here. So 6 months, Elizabeth is pregnant, Mary just gets conceived, and the month is what? March 2 B.C. Now, how many months does it take for a baby full term? 9 months. So y'all help me count from March. April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. I was hoping it was not a 7 or 8 months. That would be pretty bad. It's like, well, wait, let's go back here again. Exactly how many months? December 25th. Now, folks, I didn't get time to go into every little nitty-gritty detail because there's no time in 30 minutes to do all this. But I've tried to condense it to make it simple enough. And it's on the blog. December 25th was traditionally, through the earliest tradition passed down. Folks, it may be December 24th. It may have been December 26th. But somewhere right there was the time Jesus was born. This was not an afterthought. This was not something the church created. This was not because of Constantine. This is something that was happening already. And the early church knew it and they passed it down. And there are other silly arguments that I don't have time to get into except this one. The argument is, well, shepherds could not have been in the fields during December because it was so cold. How many of y'all have heard that argument? False. Next time when you're at your family get-together and some aunt sticks her head out and says that, just slap her appropriately. Appropriately. And say, that's not true. And why is it not true? Because according to the Mishnah, which is a Jewish book, the sheep around Bethlehem were outside all year. And especially if they happened to be Passover sheep. Listen, Passover sheep had to come out of the pen a month before the sacrifice. Passover was in March. Month before would be February, the coldest and the wettest time in Israel. Don't you think in December they could have been out? You see, sometimes people make such arguments because no one confronts them with the truth. Go back to Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 again. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon. It's so important that we realize the truth behind the traditions and the holidays that we celebrate. For more information, check out Dr. Shah's blog at abadanshah.com, or to get plugged in here at Clearview, check out our website at clearviewbc.org. Coming up on January 10th and 11th from 12 to 12, we're having our 24-hour prayer vigil. The 24-hour prayer vigil is a time of uninterrupted prayer where we take time to pray for our church, our community, our country, and our world. Contact us in the church office at 252-438-8433 to reserve your 30-minute window of time. We hope to see you there.